Hanley, this is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Gambling takes center stage in the New Hampshire House on Monday with a public hearing on a bill to bring casinos to the Granite State. The State House had been geared up for the vote this week, but at the last moment, amendments were added. Among the proposed changes, increasing the number of casinos from 2 to 4, ensuring that gambling profits go to reduce business taxes, and stipulating that one gaming facility be placed in a so-called economically depressed zone. This sudden postponement comes as Granite State gambling supporters are nervously eyeing what's happening in the Bay State. Massachusetts has approved 3 resort casinos, and planning is already underway. But there's a sharp divide at the New Hampshire State House over the impact of what our neighbor to the south does. Gambling advocates here say we've got to move quickly before we lose customers to Massachusetts, but opponents have long worried about the negative social effects they fear casinos could bring: crime, addiction, bankruptcy, and so forth. And financially, they say the Massachusetts plan will saturate the New England market, making any expanded gambling in New Hampshire a losing bet. Today in The Exchange, the new dynamics of an old debate: expanded gambling in the Granite State. We begin with Steve Norton. He's executive director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, which has been analyzing the potential impact of this. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning, Laura.
Well, you've said that the big question facing New Hampshire lawmakers, now that Massachusetts has acted, is what should we do? And just piece by piece, if you could, Steve, what are some of the factors lawmakers need to look at as they try to answer that big question?
Of course, first is the question of location. Really have to take location into account when you're thinking about the state economic and revenue impacts. We found originally that the only places where it really made any economic sense was either in the very southern part of the state or in ski country, where there's a significant number of tourists.
And location in terms of where Massachusetts puts theirs too, right?
Indeed. If Massachusetts makes a decision to put a casino in the Suffolk Downs area, that would compete with anything that New Hampshire was doing. But if they decided instead only to put something south of Boston or in western Massachusetts, the impacts on New Hampshire would be much smaller.
And I noticed on that location question, Steve, you said the very southern part of New Hampshire and ski country. You didn't say the north country, and yet one of these proposals says that a facility would have to be placed in what it calls an economically depressed zone.
Yep. So our study found that while it might make sense for the local economy from a jobs perspective, it probably wouldn't bring significant revenue to the state and might even be a net loss when you include social costs when you put something in the northern part of the state.
So another factor that you said lawmakers need to weigh, Steve, is how big the facilities are here in New Hampshire. Tell us how that makes a difference.
Well, you can imagine if you've got a very small facility on one side of the border and a big, giant facility on the other side of the border, the gravity of the two facilities is very different, and people will be drawn to one over the other. So the implications of that are if you put a $100 million facility in New Hampshire and there's a $500 million facility just over the border, you're probably not going to draw as many people to New Hampshire as you would like.
And another factor, what happens in the broader economy?
We've found that over the last 3 years during the recession, gambling revenues and gambling activity have followed personal income, and that's fallen. And so over the last 3 years, we've seen almost a 20% reduction in gambling revenues across the country, and that's been true also for the state's lottery revenues.
So as people have less disposable income, they have less to play with, and that means less profits for any potential gambling facility, Steve.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And speaking of those profits, there's also the question of what to do with those profits. Some people would like to plow it back into, you know, education funding or road funding or whatever, but there's a proposal before the House to put those profits toward reducing business taxes. So there's another question for you.
There are many different economic impacts, and both positive and negative, from gambling. And generally, the money is distributed, at least in part, to offset some of the negative consequences of gambling, such as pathological gambling and problem gambling. But then there are also infrastructure issues for local communities. So some of the bills include resources sent to local communities. And of course, almost every gambling bill now includes some measure of dollars that are going to the state to support gambling addiction services.
Well, and let's talk a little bit more about those social impacts. That's the harder to measure thing, isn't it?
It is. When you look at the literature, it's pretty clear that about 1.6 to 2% of the population in a place where there is gambling have pathological problems. And measuring the costs of that are a little bit difficult. There's the increase in crime. There's gambling addiction issues that have to be accounted for. But there are also a whole set of social costs that we didn't measure and couldn't measure, including the potential impact on the state's brand and who it draws into the state.
Yeah, and that's what Governor Lynch talked about in his State of the State address. Although, you know, as you know, Steve, more than 40 states do have some type of casino-style gambling. So have they tried to measure this social cost factor?
Some of the social costs they have measured, the implications of pathological gambling. But the impact on a state's brand, how people view it, less work has been done in that area.
So is there, Steve, a financial bottom line on this? Can we definitively say 3 casinos in New Hampshire will yield us X dollars?
You can make a whole set of assumptions that will get to a $50 million estimate, but it really depends on what you're talking about. If Massachusetts builds a $500 million facility and we build a $100 million facility, we're not going to see significant revenues, maybe $8, $10 million. But there are all sorts of circumstances where at least the revenue to the state could be greater than that.
So like any economic model, what you get out at the end depends on the assumptions and the data that you put in the beginning. And that's
right.
That's up to question.
That's right.
You know, I wonder about that, Steve. I mean, you have tried really hard to look at the economics of this, the dollars and cents. But everybody comes into this with their own set of biases, their own assumptions, which, as you just said, drive the outcome. Is it even possible for data like the data that the Institute has been putting out to change anybody's mind?
What the data does allow for is, I think, a discussion about the values. We can eliminate fighting over the size of the impact and let people argue about things that are less able to be measured, and that is people's sense of how this would impact their view of New Hampshire. And so we're successful if the facts are established and people can have a conversation about values.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steve Norton, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies, which has been crunching the numbers on the possibility of expanded gambling in the Granite State. And that's what we're talking about today on The Exchange. Let's hear from you. What's your take on whether New Hampshire should add casinos and other activities to its gaming options? Should we go this route? Should we avoid it? And how do you think Massachusetts' decision to build 3 casinos changes the equation for us, if at all? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. With me in studio, Lou D'Alessandro, Democratic Senator from Manchester, serving on the Senate Ways and Means Committee, longtime supporter of expanded gambling. And Senator D'Alessandro, nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Laura. Thank you.
And also with us, David Hess, Republican State Representative from Hooksett, serving on the House Ways and Means Committee. And Representative Hess, good morning. Good to see you, too.
Good morning, Laura. And it's a great day for New Hampshire.
Well, before we get into the facts and figures, gentlemen, I do wonder about that question I just asked Steve Norton. David Hess, to you, do the facts and figures that we now know about gambling make a difference in how lawmakers like you decide on how they'll vote, or is this all about emotions?
I think the work of the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy has narrowed the discussion down more to values and as opposed to alternative competing sides of what the facts really are. I think Steve has hit it on the head, and I think the both sides now generally recognize that the revenue coming in from casinos is going to be within a certain range, that the number of jobs that are going to be created is going to depend almost entirely on the amount of money that's going to be invested in capital construction, and that the revenue to, well, I already mentioned the revenue to, and that pathological social problems are pretty well defined in terms of pathological gambling, social consequences for the family, and the crime situation. So it's coming down to the issue of values and of what do we want New Hampshire to look like and feel like as the state that we live in.
And in terms of your values, Representative Hess, you do not think this is a good idea for the state?
I do not think it's a good idea. I've been involved in this debate since the 70s when I was working for Warren Rubin in the Attorney General's office, and we thwarted an effort to bring in major gambling in the Lakes region back then. And since I've been in the House, particularly since the 90s, for the last 15, 18 years, this has been a running struggle.
Well, and it has been a long discussion. And Senator D'Alessandro, I can't even count the number of times that you and I have talked about this over the last 15 or 16 years. Why do you think, Senator D'Alessandro, despite your efforts, New Hampshire keeps going around and around and around on this?
Well, I think it's very interesting, as you say, that we keep going around and around and around, because you can trace this back to the 1950s, when Larry Pickett of Keene introduced the lottery bill. That went around and around and around and had the same kind of rhetoric that this particular situation has. And when John King signed the lottery bill in 1963, the world was going to collapse. New Hampshire was going to collapse. Well, guess what? A number of states, I think 37 states, have picked up the lottery and have gone forward with it. We haven't collapsed, and all of the innuendos and anecdotes that were stated at that time have not happened. So I think one thing that I want to address is you talked about the social situation, and I think the social situation has been the undercurrent.
The social costs, bankruptcy, addiction, so forth, that has existed
from the get go, and as a result of that, and as a result of media and media participation in this for a long period of time, that prevails. And yet at the same time, charitable gaming around the state has increased dramatically. We do $100 to $150, maybe $200 million worth of charitable gaming in the state. The lottery continues to move forward, and I don't know if you've seen some of the ads lately on television about internet facilities that are opening up in New Hampshire and really projecting increased gaming. So all of these things are happening as the debate centers around whether or not we should legalize expanded gaming for the benefit of the state of New Hampshire. That's the key issue. Right now, everything that takes place in the state of New Hampshire has a de minimis, if no effect, on revenue for the state of New Hampshire. Charities receive money. I don't know what happens in these other situations, but the state receives relatively little, if anything.
Well, and we'll follow up on that after a short break and start taking your calls, too. So join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address, exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, it's 919, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from PS&H and its Neighbor Helping Neighbor program, assisting families in need with their electric or natural gas bills. Information on how to help at nhnfund.org. And Vineyard Brands, importers of goats to Rome, wines from the Powell Valley of South Africa, now available at Hannaford and at New Hampshire State liquor stores, vineyardbrands.com. More on the gambling debate in New Hampshire on The Exchange on NHPR, then at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. It's the Friday News Roundup. New Hampshire weather today, partly to mostly sunny with high temperatures from 35 to 40 north, ranging to 40 to 45 in southern parts of the state. Tonight, clouding up with snow showers after midnight, lows tonight near 15 in the north country, 20 to 25 in central parts of the state, and 25 to 30 in southern New Hampshire. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire rolls the dice on gambling once more as a new casino bill is up for a vote next week in the House. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. What's your take on whether New Hampshire should add casinos and other activities to its gaming options? Should we go in this direction or avoid it? Also, how do you think the three resort casinos coming in Massachusetts might affect the equation here in New Hampshire? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook, so you can go to our page and join the conversation there. Our guests are David Hess, Republican State Representative from Hooksett, and Lou D'Alessandro, Democratic Senator from Manchester. And both of you, let's go to the phones now. And Judith's calling in from Laconia. Hi, Judith. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I just had a comment about it. My daughter went to Connecticut College, and we would visit her frequently there. And that's near the big Connecticut casino. And I was in a little gift shop one day, and I said to the woman, you know, hasn't the casino helped your business and all, you know, all these people coming here for the casino? She said, quite to the contrary, it's been devastating. She said they come down, they go to the casino, they stay in the casino, their shops and food, they don't, you know, come out even to go to the restaurants. They fill up the motels and hotels around where visitors who used to come to New London and Mystic to see the tourist sites and all that. And I was quite shocked by that, and I kind of made it then my kind of a standard question everywhere we went then when we were visiting down there, and literally found in these, in small restaurants and businesses, it's really true. I was just absolutely shocked by it because I was thought, oh, if you had a big casino and all these people coming, devastating to small businesses and the local people to bring these big casinos in.
Judith, it's an interesting point, and Senator D'Alessandro, boy, she's right. It's come up in our debate, too, this idea of casinos cannibalizing local businesses. And I think some local business groups here in New Hampshire oppose casinos.
Yeah, I think they do. Getting back to the speaker, the caller, Connecticut has received billions of dollars in revenue from the casinos. They're guaranteed $100 million a year.
The state has, but the local businesses haven't.
Well, the local businesses prosper to some extent. You said all the motels are full. But listen, when you create a destination casino, as has been created in Connecticut, what would you expect? I mean, wouldn't you expect people to shop at the shops at the casino and eat at the restaurants at the casino? And the residual situation is some money goes to the local entity, but the state receives the bulk of the money, and the state presents that money to everybody in the state. Now, obviously, the state pays for services. So the guarantee of $100 million a year, and remember, that's a very unique situation. You've got two Indian tribes, you have two Indian nations recognized, and they cut a deal with the state of Connecticut, and that deal calls for a minimum of $100 million a year. At the time, obviously, Connecticut thought that was a good situation. I'm not a big gambler in terms of going to Foxwood or Mohegan Sun, although I have been to both. And look at the improvements that have been made in both of those areas. I mean, look at the road improvements that have been made, and they're all made at the expense of the Indian tribes. And look at the jobs that have been created. I think they hire 14,000 or 15,000 people in those two entities. So somebody's making money. They got a job, and that's good for employment, isn't it? And, of course, the money going to the state of Connecticut.
Well, David, what about the cannibalizing? I know people have talked about this back and forth for a long time in New Hampshire, too. Judith, thanks for that call.
Cannibalization around casinos is almost universal. The casino business model is very simple. They want to bring the customer in with his pockets full of money. They want him to stay on premise the entire time, providing entertainment, providing food, providing drinks, and providing a gambling venue. And when he runs out of money, they want to put him on a bus and send him home. That is the single business model for casinos. It's to capture all of the money that game players have and then to let them leave. That is a fact of life in almost every situation. In Atlantic City, for example, when they brought in casinos, the number of freestanding restaurants in Atlantic City dropped by two-thirds because the casinos just simply captured the gambler. So you have this situation which occurs repeatedly and predictably. That's why the New Hampshire Hospitality Association is opposed to casino gambling. It creates an unfair competition, and the bills that we have create a unique situation for casinos, for example, by allowing them to serve drinks without serving food, something that no one else in New Hampshire can benefit from. So this is a very serious concern. The increase in crime is documented, and interviews and systematic social studies in the Ledyard area in Connecticut indicate that the local people have confirmed almost unanimously no local benefits from the casinos.
Well, I want to ask you about the bills that are currently before the House and that postponement of the vote this week, but also to invite our listeners again to join us at 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. So let's go right to it, Representative Hess, then. What is involved in the current proposal before the House. I know there was a bill for two casinos, but then at the last minute there were a bunch of amendments added.
Well, it's an interesting history of the casino bill was originally introduced back in January and February of 2011 and then immediately tabled or interim studied. We started studying it in the fall. Representative Stepanak of Amherst came in with a completely rewritten bill providing for two casinos. Originally, the bill provided for two casinos, which had to be at least 100 miles apart. Now, since the two interest groups that are most concerned about creating casinos in New Hampshire are looking at Salem on the one hand and Hudson on the other, they're not 100 miles apart. So guess what? The 100 miles stretch disappeared in order to satisfy those two groups. Since then, a number of problems have come up in the bill, and three floor amendments were proposed for debate and discussion last Wednesday. Realizing that none of these bills had had a public hearing, it was tabled or recommitted back to Ways and Means for a public hearing, the first one on these proposals. But the bill that the House probably will consider is what I call proliferation before conception. Instead of just two casinos on the southern tier of the state, the bill that's probably going to come out of Ways and Means is going to have four casinos, pretty much like Senator Lew's bill over in the Senate. But it has some very interesting things. First of all, it has a fixed licensing fee. For the big casinos, that's going to be $50 million. For the small slot barns, if you will, it's going to be $20 million. What's different between that and Massachusetts and most recent states is that it doesn't have a competitive auction bid process. In Massachusetts, for example, the law requires that the minimum bid must be $85 million, but people are going to compete by bidding higher and higher amounts if they want to for the casino.
That's more attractive for the state.
It's more attractive for the state. It brings in a lot more revenue, and there's absolutely no reason to have a fixed fee unless your people who are drafting this legislation are the lawyers and lobbyists for the casinos, which is actually what happened here.
I see what you're saying. So why fix the licensing fee? Why not do what Massachusetts does, which is, hey, highest bidder, you're in?
Well, it's not quite that way, but certainly the amount of money bid is considered. The other interesting thing that's really significant in New Hampshire, both of these groups in Salem and in Hudson talk about spending hundreds of millions of dollars in construction to build a quality facility. Well, interestingly enough, our bill, the bill that they wrote, has no minimum requirement for construction. They don't have to invest anything in the local economy. And so that is quite different from Massachusetts, where the law that Massachusetts passed requires $500 million, $500 million capital investment in the facility. And what Steve Norton said earlier in the show is absolutely correct. The revenue that one generates from a facility is directly proportional and related to the amount of money that is invested by the owners. If you have $500 million destination resort in Massachusetts that's only 45 or 55 miles away from Salem, New Hampshire, the Salem facility is not going to be a destination resort. It's going to be a commuter casino, and the revenues are going to be precipitously dropped and lowered.
Well, and let's address that, Senator D'Alessandro. That's a huge question that a lot of people are asking. If Massachusetts goes ahead, and it looks like they are, everybody's on board. I checked the news this morning. You know,
They're going ahead.
Yeah, they're going ahead.
There's no
if, right.
They're going ahead. So, they're setting up a gaming commission as we speak. They'll have three casinos, and they'll have one slot parlor. That's the deal. That's the deal in Massachusetts that was cut after confrontation between the Senate, the House, and the governor of Massachusetts.
So does that saturate New England? What's the point of New Hampshire going ahead?
Well, the question of saturation, again, if it all depends on what side you're on. And what is saturation? Have we saturated with the number of Walmarts in New Hampshire? Have we saturated with the number of Hannaford's, with the number of Market Baskets, with the number of Demoulas's? I mean, all of that's a question that remains unanswered. But let me address some of the items brought forth by Representative Hess. I can't give you a great deal of commentary on what's happened in the House because I haven't been a party to the House legislation. I've got it hearsay and so forth. But let me tell you what our bill, the bill that I presented, represents. It represents an investment, a capital investment, of between $500 million and $750 million for capital improvements. These capital improvements have to take place. I mean, we We know that, and if
roads,
you're looking,
sewers, and all
well,
that.
Well, and the actual structure itself has to be. If you're going to be competitive, you have to make a significant capital investment. That capital investment is an enhancement to the community, an enhancement to the state. It provides temporary jobs to the construction industry. It'll provide permanent jobs as we move forward. And remember, when we started this, the idea was to do a couple of things: economic recovery and job creation. Those were the aspects that we needed to bring forward. Nobody was creating any jobs. The construction industry has fallen apart. It's fallen on very bad times. So we needed private investment. Everyone complains about public participation, so we wanted to induce private investment. We had facilities in New Hampshire that are really perfect for expanded gaming. Don't want to mention them because I don't want to talk about destinations. We don't designate designations in our work. But anyway, we had places that were acceptable. The communities accepted the concept.
The existing racetracks.
Right, the existing racetracks. The communities accepted. They had non-binding referendums. The community wanted these things. And as a result of that, we were able to move forward. Now, in the last biennium, we passed the bill in the Senate. We passed it three times in the Senate. When it got to the Committee of Conference on the Budget, you know, it disappeared. We pointed out the positive aspects of this, and we brought forward a model that's in place, that's been in place for a number of years, the Delaware model. We brought up Commissioner Lemons from Delaware. We got him to testify. We brought up the Attorney General's reports that are done on an annual basis by the communities involved in Delaware and presented to the Attorney General with result to crime and so forth and so on. So we had a good package, we had a good model, and we had a record of consistency. Delaware model has produced a couple of $1 billion for the state of Delaware along with jobs and so forth. So those things are in place, and I think very, very successful, and presented a very good package for New Hampshire.
All right, let's take some calls, and then we'll talk some more. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. Up next is Wayne in Littleton. Go ahead, Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great show. The question I have is, I own a restaurant, and I understand why the New Hampshire Restaurant Association doesn't want casinos in New Hampshire, because they do create black holes. One thing I don't think the politicians are willing to take on is having the Nevada-style gambling where everybody gets some of the revenue. Like, just don't limit it to these little areas in the state, and then a few people make a bunch of money. Let's give it to everybody. If we're going to do it, let's do it for the whole state and make it fair.
So in Nevada, I remember I've been there once, Wayne. You know, there were the big casinos, but also if you went to the grocery store, there are a
right.
couple,
or a
slot machines
we
there.
We could have slot machines. If people want to play, they can. But why does it just a few people get to make all the money? That just doesn't seem like the New Hampshire way.
Okay. Wayne, thanks a lot for calling. What do you think, Senator D'Alessandro?
Well, I think one of the negatives is proliferation. We don't want to see proliferation. And I think people that are willing to make a significant initial investment, they should get a return on investment. And I think the entire state does benefit, because the dollars that are derived go to the general fund, and that general fund supports activities around the state for all of the people that are involved. That's my concept. This proliferation of little machine every place, we got that now. We have the gray machines all over.
And nope, you mean the lottery machines?
No, not the lottery machines. We have a number of machines that are spread throughout the state. Obviously, they're illegal at this time, but they're all over the place. Somebody's making out, but it isn't the state. And generally speaking, I don't know who is making out. But I think proliferation's a problem. South Carolina did just what this caller suggested: put them in every store. Didn't make any sense, and they eventually repealed the legislation. If you're going to have expanded gaming, it's got to be in a controlled environment, because there are many things that must be taken care of and must be controlled. And the way to do it, I think, is to follow the plan that brought forth by our piece of legislation a number of years ago and in place as we speak. And it works. It works. It works well. It's proven to be very successful.
1-800-892-6477 is our number. Thanks for that call, Wayne. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. And from White River Junction, Vermont, Suzanne's on the air. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hi. Being in the Twin State next door, I really feel that New Hampshire is similar to Vermont in that it represents beauty and wilderness, small towns, communities. And it befuddles me that New Hampshire would even consider bringing in casinos because it just goes against what I perceive as New Hampshire's all about. I feel like the arguments are empty arguments for the casinos, similar to arguments for putting in a Walmart, which has been proven over and over to destroy local businesses, because the trend going forward is community, it's buying local, it's supporting your local restaurants. So I'm shocked that this would come even closer to Vermont, and I certainly wouldn't want the sleaze to come over the sleaze factor to come over the border. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for listening.
Oh, you're welcome, Suzanne. Thank you for calling in. The sleaze factor, David Hess.
Well, it's I think befuddlement is an understatement of my certainly my feeling about this. It's incredulity. I mean, we are the envy of the United States as a state of New Hampshire. What Steve Merrill coined as the New Hampshire advantage is, in fact, a New Hampshire advantage. We have the highest median household income in the country at $66,000 per household. We are the number one state in livability for 5 years. We have either the lowest or the second lowest crime rate for the last 5 years. This is the best state in the country to raise children. All of these factors, this is where people want to live. As Governor Lynch said in the State of the State address, don't mess with success. But let me say it more succinctly. Don't screw up a good thing. We have something. We have the envy of the country. Why play around with something like casinos, which are guaranteed to increase crime? Nevada has the 49th highest crime rate in the country.
But nobody's talking about making New Hampshire into Nevada.
Well, the gentleman that just was on the phone talked about proliferation and mass gambling machines. And as Lou mentioned, that's been tried in only two other states. In South Carolina, it was tried and totally rejected subsequently by the people because it created a culture that was not acceptable to the population. And in Louisiana, it was tried and then almost entirely brought back too. So, again, why mess with a great thing?
Well, and I want to ask you after a short break, Representative Hess, as Senator D'Alessandro said, 40-some-odd other states have some form of casino gambling. The sky isn't falling in those states. I mean, clearly they're still there and existing. So we'll talk about that coming up after a short break. Take more of your calls to 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or email exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
The legacy one leaves for a community can last for generations. I'm Anna Moskoff, Plan Gifts Officer at NHPR, and I'd like to talk to you about the many ways in which you can support NHPR, like leaving a gift through your estate. You can make a lasting impact on this new service for the next generation of public radio listeners in New Hampshire. For more information, please call 800-639-4131 or visit the support page at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from You Are Members and from TransCanada, generating and selling electricity, and a proud supporter of New Hampshire Audubon's initiative to restore nesting bald eagles in the Connecticut River watershed. And from the Altus Investment Group in Concord, one office managing $40 million of retirement nest eggs for baby boomers in central New Hampshire. ALTUSinvest.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Monday in The Exchange, we examine the argument that climbing the economic ladder in America is harder than ever. Email us your thoughts before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us Monday morning live at 9. Today, the high stakes of gambling in the Granite State. We're looking at proposals to expand gambling here, especially in light of three casinos coming in Massachusetts. Join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Should New Hampshire go the route of Massachusetts and add casinos to its current gaming options, or should we avoid taking that road? Also, how do you think the casinos coming in Massachusetts affects the equation here in New Hampshire, if at all? 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Representative Hess, just before the break, we were mentioning that at least 40 other states have some form of casino gambling. They seem to be doing okay. So are you in danger of exaggerating the costs of this? Also, Senator D'Alessandro said at the beginning of the hour that, hey, everybody said the sky was going to fall when the lottery came in, and lo and behold, the sky didn't fall.
Well, the fact that 41 other states have some form of casino gambling verifies the fact that since we're the best state in the country without casino gambling, why should we play around with the possibility of dropping down to 20th or 15th or 10th, whatever? No, I think that demonstrates that we're in great shape without it. Again, why run the risk of bringing all of these social problems in for basically a pittance in terms of our budget? We run a $4 billion general fund budget right now. $25 or $50 million is a drop in the bucket for this, and it's not worth the risk that we take. There's no downside in our current economy. Our rate of unemployment is about half of the national average. Our salary, as I mentioned before, the per capita median household income is the highest in the country. Jobs that come in from casinos are notoriously poor paying. The average pay for casinos, as Steve Norton demonstrated, is about $11 an hour. That works out to $440 a week, or roughly $23,000 a year.
That's about the poverty level.
That is below the poverty level.
For a family of four.
And so why do we want to even experiment with this? We're doing great. We're, as I say, the envy of the country.
What do you think, Senator D'Alessandro? Don't mess it up.
Well, I love hearing Dave say that, because that's exactly what they said in the 1950s in opposition to the lottery. As a matter of fact, that's what they said in 1933 when Governor Wynot brought back horse racing to New Hampshire. All these negative things were going to take place and so forth and so on. Listen, there are people here without jobs. They want jobs. The unemployment rate in our construction industry is almost 20%. We aren't building homes. We just don't have building taking place. Our laborers, our carpenters, our plumbers, our bricklayers, our ordinary laborers, our electricians, they don't have jobs. This would bring jobs to this state, the kind of jobs that we need in the construction industry. And again, we maintain our quality of life. I mean, we're not going to diminish our quality of life. We're going to take our median family income. We're going to increase it, because when you look at median family income, that's not across the board. There are areas like the 20th Senate District, wards 3, 4, 10, 11 in Manchester, where the median family income is $33,000 a year. So people need jobs. They want jobs. This is one way to do this. And again, let's look at the economic recovery job creation package. Let's look at doing it properly. We've done things properly in the past. We will do things properly in the future. Now the question that always comes up, in my opinion, is unanswered, is what about the gaming that we have now? What about all the charitable gaming that exists today in a rather unregulated fashion? And we're talking about $100 to $150 million worth of activity.
So we're not going to handle on that.
Right.
We do have a handle on that, actually. There's a 10% tax on charitable gaming, and it is regulated by the state. We repeal the tax. Yes, but there was a 10% tax on gambling, and it can be reinitiated if people are worried about raising revenue from charities.
The 10% tax
coming
was
into
on
the state
gambling.
Is going to kill charitable gaming.
Gentlemen, you know what? I've got some calls and emails that I want to go to. So
let's
let me jump in.
Calls.
Let's go
now,
to
let's
that
get
again.
To the calls.
Our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Join our discussion. Add your voice to our conversation here about whether New Hampshire should expand gambling or not. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And here's an email from John in Keene. He says, although I do not gamble, I know many who do. I also know many local people who travel to go to out-of-state casinos for gambling and recreation. They, of course, spend much money while out-of-state. To me, John says, it only makes sense that we have well-regulated casinos in New Hampshire before we fall too much further behind that curve. John, thanks for the email. David Hess, it's for you.
The amount of money that goes to gambling out-of-state has been fairly well documented, particularly with respect to the casinos in Connecticut, and it's relatively minimal. The estimates, and I think Steve Norton, again, of the Center for Public Policy, has documented that New Hampshire residents spend in the area of about $80 million gambling out of state at Mohegan Sun and in Foxwoods. Certainly that is a loss to the economy, just like any New Hampshire residents traveling somewhere else to vacation is a loss to the New Hampshire economy. But tourism is our second or third largest economic engine in New Hampshire, and it is that way because we are branded. We are branded as a family destination resort. People come here to relax, to enjoy nature, to enjoy our historical heritage, to camp, to ski, to boat. If casinos were allowed to enter New Hampshire, the money that would be spent on advertising would dwarf the state advertising budget. It would completely change the image of New Hampshire because the casinos would probably outspend the state and the hospitality industry by 10, 20 to 1. And so we would have the image that the casinos would be portraying in their advertising.
Maine has casinos, but that state seems to me to also have a very nice family-friendly image. Come eat our lobster, come to our beaches. That message still gets through.
Maine has a very, very limited facility, and that's up in the Bangor area. Far, far away, and as a matter of fact, the Maine experience has demonstrated that in that context, where you don't have the benefit of gaining revenue from out of state, it actually has an almost 100% cannibalistic effect because the money that is spent in the casino in Bangor is siphoned off of other entertainment activities and restaurants, et cetera, in the state, and the profits from that casino goes out of state.
Let's take another call. This is Jeannie in Walpole. Hi, Jeannie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Yes, I've been listening to this while I have my coffee. I'm just feeling that the people who are in favor of gambling are sort of flying in the face of all the information, data, et cetera, that says this would really not be a good thing for our communities. And also that the nature of the beast of gambling is somewhat corrupt, you know. I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, by and large, the whole idea of putting gambling in a community is going to really just dissolve the moral fiber there.
You mean corrupt in terms of the local politics or corrupt in terms of, you know,
well,
everybody?
You know, the nature of, you know, where is this money really going to go? Who's really going to benefit? How many people in my community will benefit from this? I mean, it's a little suspect to me.
Well, Gene, I'm glad you called, because Senator D'Alessandro, this is a question that comes up. There are those who fear that gambling will corrupt New Hampshire politics. Casino owners will lobby for ever more licenses or bigger facilities. What do you think about her concern?
Well, I obviously share her concern, but the local communities that have had gaming support gaming, continue to support gaming. For example, Salem has voted on numerous occasions not only to support what they have, but they support expanded gaming. And I think that all focuses around how you control the gaming and how you moderate the industry. And I think there's ample proof that you can do that, and you can do that in a fine fashion. And I want to tell the listener that everybody benefits when dollars pour into the state in terms of our state treasury. I mean, we can always use additional revenue, and this revenue would come to the state. You can use it for tax abatement in any way that you like. And the structure of our bill covers a number of ways to deal with this. But any entity that comes to a state, if it's in a specific location, the people in that specific location either approve it or disapprove of it. And if they do approve of it, the whole state benefits. I mean, the whole state benefits from a number of things that we do, even though they're centered in certain areas. For example, we have the Verizon Center in Manchester, but the whole state benefits But Manchester obviously has the center, and we take the burden of all of the traffic coming. We regulate the traffic. We move the traffic. We have the baseball stadium in Manchester. Sure, everybody from New Hampshire comes. Everybody benefits. And hopefully it's this kind of activity that would come with the expanded gaming for New Hampshire. I look at it as a mutual benefit for everybody in New Hampshire.
Can I ask you a quick side question, Senator D'Alessandro, on this idea of revenues to our state treasury? I remember in the past, a bunch of Democrats in the Senate got on board with gambling because they were really worried about cuts to social programs, health and human services, and so forth. But the proposal in the House, at least there's an amendment to the proposal in the House, says all profits will go to reducing business taxes, not to expand the scope or size of government. Right. What do you think about that as a Democrat?
Yeah, I don't think that's the right way to go. I don't think reducing the business taxes or specifically designated the revenues to reduce the business taxes is the way to go. The money should go into the general fund. Then we should appropriate the money where the money is needed. I mean, obviously, when we put together a budget, we designate certain dollars go to certain areas, and one of the areas that gets the bulk of our general fund revenues is the health and human services, where we address the needs of the people of all of the people of the state of New Hampshire. And in my opinion, that's the way we should go.
And I remember last year or the year before, actually it must have been 2 or 3 years ago now, Representative Hess, there were some Democrats who said, look, I am concerned about the social costs of gambling, which are hard to measure. What I'm more concerned about, though, are the social costs of, you know, food stamps being cut, home heating oil programs being cut, and so forth. So these Democrats were saying a couple years back, you know, you got social costs on either end here. I wonder how you feel about that.
Well, I think I'll let Lou answer the Democratic concerns about social costs. Again, I go back to the fact the practical matter is we had a budgetary increase of 25% over the last 4 years. That was about four times more rapid than we have experienced in New Hampshire in the last several decades. We brought that budget back under control to match our revenues last year with a budget. The sky hasn't fallen in as a result of those budget reductions and balancing our state budget. And the issue about revenues has been deliberately taken out of the casino issue so that casinos can be looked at and addressed as an issue, as a social issue and a standalone economic issue. But let me get back to what the woman from Walpole said.
You know, the political corruption.
Undue political influence and the intrusion of questionable business practices. New Hampshire is not immune from the risks of large amounts of cash flowing. And casinos are a cash cow. They generate hundreds of millions of dollars in cash, much of which can go in various directions. We've had two recent problems with gambling here in New Hampshire. Up in Belmont, the track up there, we found out about 5 years ago that it was used to launder on the order of $200 million improperly. At Hinsdale, when Hinsdale shut down as a racetrack over in the western corner of the state, all of a sudden more than $1 million of customers of Hinsdale's whose money was supposed to be kept in separate accounts had disappeared. So we're not immune to that kind of problem. And one of the things the Governor's Commission on Gambling specified and insisted upon when they issued their report back in 2010 was we've got to get our regulatory house in order first. We've got to make sure that we have the ability to regulate this cash cow before we allow it to come into the state. And that simply has not happened.
Well, and Governor Lynch did say that a couple years back. Now he says, Senator D'Alessandro, look, I'll veto it. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm very disappointed, obviously, that he says he will veto it, because we had provisions in our bill to do just what David has asked for, regulation. We had the state police put in place, and again, we followed a model that's been very effective and very productive and proved very satisfactory to the people of the state of Delaware. We have that in my legislation. I don't know what they have in the House legislation. As I said, I haven't seen the final version of this. But we take every step in our bill to make sure that it's monitored properly, supervised properly, and controlled so that corruption doesn't enter into the game. Many of these games have been run very, very well for long periods of time across the country. And the corruption that Dave noted, I mean, that's our responsibility. We had a Perry Mutual Commission that should have been on top of those things. We understand that, and they were taken care of. But you don't enter into anything like this without proper supervision and proper controls. I mean, that's the name of the game. And as I said, we have done a number of things. We did it with the lottery. We instituted the lottery after lotteries had been curtailed in the 1800s. We brought the lottery back to New Hampshire. We supervised the lottery. We supervised it so well that 36 other states followed our lead, Dave. They followed our lead. And guess what? None of them have fallen off into the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico. They're still around, and they're still producing. We put something in place. We were the first state in the United States to reinstitute the lottery.
Which makes it all the more interesting that we don't have expanded casinos,
right,
given that 41 other states have it. But then there's David Hess's argument, which he made and Governor Lynch has made. Look, we're doing better than most other states, so don't mess it up. And we've talked about that.
Well, we should do even better.
Well, I want to finish up with both of you gentlemen about what happens next. So, okay, David Hess, Governor Lynch says he'll veto it, but there is a lot of interest in your body, the House, in terms of expanding gambling. How much votes do the supporters of this bill have to get to override a gubernatorial veto?
A gubernatorial veto will not be overridden on this issue. We have the interesting result in on Wednesday. This bill was scheduled for a debate. Okay,
right. Everyone was all geared up for it.
Yes, it went back to committee. It went back to committee for one reason. They didn't have the votes to pass the bill. On our side of the issue, we were counting the votes. On their side of the issue, they were counting the votes. Not only did they not have enough votes, they were going to lose by a substantial majority. The House has never passed casino gambling. Never. And it won't this year, and I predict it won't next year. The issue here, I think, is eventually going to die down because Massachusetts is going to saturate the market with quality destination resorts that we will not be able to compete with. The economic indication in casinos is people go to the closest casino to gamble unless it's a destination. If we put casinos in New Hampshire after Massachusetts has one, it's going to be strictly a local commuter casino.
Well, you might have to move to Massachusetts, Senator D'Alessandro.
We're going to be supporting Massachusetts. Dave's got all the support going south now to Massachusetts. And you know those signs that they want to put up that say you're leaving and entering? They're going to now say, welcome to Massachusetts. Bring your New Hampshire money to Massachusetts and spend it all there.
We'll wrap it up with that. Thank you both so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much.
The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.